Now let us come to this portion of God's Word. We come to verse 5 of Psalm 37. And we have looked at this psalm for a number of weeks. And we have seen how David is is setting a tone for us. He's going to be comparing the life of the child of God with those who are wicked, those who do not trust in the Lord. And he's encouraging the saints that this is going to be the life of the Christian, a life that does not fret, a life that trusts, a life that depends upon the Lord, a life that delights upon the things of God. It is a very positive psalm. And here in verse 5, we come to the words, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." And it's this verse that we want to think about this evening. If you have margins in your Bible, you would notice that the translators have given us the literal rendering of the Hebrew word for commit, which says, "Roll thy way upon the Lord." So that word commit is to do with the rolling of something over onto someone. Here is the Lord. The same word is used in Psalm 22 and verse 8, which I think it is instructive. It is a messianic psalm, of course, Psalm 22. And there it refers to our Lord Jesus Christ. And specifically, it is reference to the witness of those who are mocking and who are ridiculing. And you are laughing at our Lord Jesus Christ when he was hanging upon the cross. They said of him in Psalm 22, verse 8, which is also referred to in the Gospels, "He trusted," it says, "on the Lord." And that word "he trusted on" is exactly the same word, meaning to commit. He rolled his way upon the Lord. Here is a man who is hanging on the cross, they were mocking and saying. Here is a man who was trusting in the Lord. Here is a man who was committing his way to the Lord. And look at him now. Here is a man who rolled his way, who rolled his life upon the Lord, that he would deliver him. Now look at him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But yes, of course, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He depended upon his Father in heaven. He sought his Father's grace and help. He lived for God's glory. Yes, he rolled his life on the Lord. He committed his way to the Lord. That's a true witness. As he suffered and was experiencing so much pain, he was committing his way to the Lord. And at the end, he did that very thing. He said that to receive his Father, to receive his Spirit. And there were these people who were shouting these words, not realizing that they were fulfilling prophecy as he was on the cross. And yet they were testifying of the fact that this was the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here David also is saying that you do the same as the Lord Jesus. Yes, he trusted in the Lord. He committed his way unto the Lord. And you do that. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way. Proverbs uses the same expression, the Hebrew expression, in Proverbs 16 and verse 3. It says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord." So now it is not just your way, but your works, the things that you are doing. You roll it over to God. So you get up in the morning. You have a day full of things to do. You bring it all upon the Lord. And say, "Lord, help me to glorify thee in these things. And thy thoughts shall be established," Solomon says in Proverbs 16 and verse 3. So we are to roll our work on God. Roll our way on God. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Give it over into God's hands, the Lord is saying. And then confide in him as completely as a little child would confide in its mother. Give it up to him. To rule it, to govern it, to guide you, to lead you, in every step. Spurgeon puts it like this. He says, put the helm of your ship into the hand of the Almighty Pilot. He says, leave the guidance of your pilgrimage to him who has led many caravans across the desert aforetime, and who has never suffered any to perish. What an easy way this is, and yet how hard do we find it to carry it out? It is to unload ourselves and put our burden on our God. Oh, that we had the sanctified common sense to make us fulfill this duty. The Greek translation of this phrase, which is in a volume called the Septuagint, it translates it like this. Reveal thy way unto the Lord. Reveal thy way unto the Lord. That word reveal, so this is commit thy way, roll thy way upon the Lord. And the Greek translation is reveal thy way. And that lends itself to what we are about. We are to be people of prayer. We are to reveal our way to God. And so it's very expressive of the relief which the believer, when we are burdened, when we are burdened with trouble, with anxiety, then we open our case to God. We pour out our soul to the Lord before God in fervent prayers. Reveal thy way to God. Not that God doesn't know, but we are to bring these things to the Lord. God calls us to commune with him. So roll the whole burden of life upon the Lord. Leave with the Savior. Leave with Jehovah. Not merely your present fretfulness and worry, but all of your cares. Everything. In fact, submit the whole tenor and direction of your way to him. So, what should we do when we say we commit our ways to God? What are we doing in that situation? We are casting away anxiety. We are not giving way to anxious thoughts. We are resigning our will. So, we commit our way to God. We are resigning with it our will. We are submitting our judgments of situations. We leave all with the God of all. And so, what a medicine this is. When you think about this, you might be fretting, you might be worried about this and that. And here is a medicine for cancelling envy as well. How blessed you would be when you live in obedience to this verse. How our life would be so much more joyful and delightful when this verse comes to fruition in our lives. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Again, quoting Spurgeon, he says this, our destiny shall be joyfully accomplished if we confidently entrust all to our Lord. Then it is, friends, that we may peacefully sing those words, thy way, not mine, O Lord. However dark it be, O lead me by thine own right hand, choose out the path for me. Again, we have to ask, do we mean these words? Smooth, let it be, or rough, it will be still the best. Winding or straight, it matters not. It leads me to thy rest. I dare not choose my lot. I would not if I might. But choose thou for me, O my God, so shall I walk or write. Take thou my cup, and it with joy or sorrow fill, as ever best to thee may seem, choose thou my good and ill. Oh, that we would mean what those words are as we sing them. I read about a lady called Catherine Marshall, who wrote about learning to surrender her entire life to God through what she called a prayer of relinquishment. a prayer of relinquishment. When she encountered situations, she feared, she writes. She often panicked. She often exhibited a demanding spirit in her prayers. She says, God, I must have this or that. I must have this. And in those situations, she wrote, God seemed so remote. But when she surrendered the dreadful situation to the Lord to do with it exactly as He pleased, fear left and peace returned. And from that moment on, she writes, God began working things out. So instead of trying to quell your fears with panic prayers, Lord, do this for me now. Surrender yourself to God through a prayer of relinquishment and see what the Lord will do. And it says, trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. Spurgeon says, He shall bring it to pass. It is quite certain that you cannot bring it to pass. So you will be wise if you leave it with Him who can do what you cannot. So what should we do? He shall bring it to pass. What should you do? Don't plan things without God. Don't plan things without God. You see, God has an amazing way of upsetting the plans we have made. Hasn't it been the case? You've made this plan, that plan, and it's all been upset. When we have not taken Him into account. And so we can get ourselves into circumstances that were not chosen by, as it were, by God, we could say. They were chosen by us. And suddenly we realize that we've been making our plans without Him. Yes, God works out His own purposes. Yes, of course. But we have to say, am I doing this thing because I've sought the Lord and I know this is the Lord's plan? Have we considered Him to be the vital person in our plans? The living factor in the planning of our lives? And yet the only thing that will keep us from even the possibility of worrying is to bring God in as the greatest factor in all of our planning. That's the best thing you and I can do. To bring the Lord in. How do you bring Him in? In prayer. You bring the matters to God in prayer. How do we bring Him in? By seeking His will in His Word. So in spiritual issues, yes, of course, it is customary for us to put God first. We say in the things of the church, in the things of God's worship, we put God first. But we tend to think that it is inappropriate or unnecessary, or we forget it altogether to put Him first in the practical, everyday issues of our lives. And so Proverbs says, commit thy works unto the Lord. If we have the idea that we have to put on our, as it were, spiritual face before we can come near to God, then we will never come near to Him. We must come as we are, with all our works, with all our plans, with all of the things, we bring it to the Lord. But something else by way of application, let me say, is that don't plan with a concern of evil in mind. That is, the evil and bad things that may happen to you. The what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? Don't bring these things. Don't plan with having those what ifs in your mind. That's not the way we commit our ways to God. That's not the way we trust also in Him. That's not the way a person says that God will bring things to pass. There are no what ifs in this. Does God really mean for us to plan without taking the evil things, the bad things around us into account? In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through to 5, you have, of course, that chapter about charity, about that divine love, the godly love. And it says in in that passage that charity thinketh no evil. What does that mean? Godly love thinketh no evil. It doesn't think about the bad things. So love is not ignorant of the existence of evil. Love is not ignorant of the bad things that are happening. Love is not ignorant of the disappointments, but it does not take it into account as a factor in the planning. When we were apart from God, when we were not Christians, we did take evil into account. We did take the bad things into account. Oftentimes thinking negatively about every situation. Oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, this is the thing. What if this happens? What if that happens? And filled with fear. You see, and yet the Holy Spirit removes that fear. The Word of God gives us hope and comfort that I can trust in the Lord. Look at what He has done for my soul. Look at who He is in His sovereignty, in His power, and in His wisdom. But before we were thinking, what if this bad thing happens? What if it doesn't go right for me? Doing all of our planning with it in mind, and we try to reason out all of our work from its standpoint. From the standpoint of bad things, but standpoint of evil things. And my friends, don't be an Eeyore, as we have in Winnie the Pooh's books. He always talked about the worst things that could happen. The weather was never shiny. And if it was shiny, it was too hot. Don't be like that. Don't be a Christian who is always looking at the negatives. Don't be someone who, when you contact someone, when you talk to someone, they're always worried about what negatives you are going to say. No, you bring everything to God. You plan your life with God in your sight. Not with the evil in your sight, but with the God in your sight. You have enough evil in your life, as it is. The world is filled with evil, but we have God to contemplate. But also, let me say another thing by way of application. Don't plan with a rainy day in mind. Don't plan with a rainy day in mind. You see, we can't hoard things for a rainy day if you are truly trusting Christ. And I'm speaking to myself too. Because I like to have things, and I have things in my mind. What if this happens? And so we need to prepare. The Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. God will not keep your heart from being troubled. It's a command, you see. It's not that God will always bring you peace, but there is a thing the Lord is saying, let not your heart be troubled. It's a command. You are involved in this. To do it continually, pick yourself up. Even if you fall 101 times a day, until you get into the habit of putting God first and planning with Him in mind, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So you might think that all is crashing around you. You're disappointed, you're concerned, you're worried. This is the text. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Look to the Lord. That's what you should do. Our Savior Jesus Christ goes ahead of us. He didn't save us to then leave us behind. He will take us. He's that captain who is not worried, who is not fretting. He still has His aim set for us to arrive safely to heaven's shore. I read again earlier that during a terrible storm on the ocean, there was a small passenger ship that was being tossed to and fro by the tempest. And they tried to do everything to keep calm. The passengers, they locked themselves in their own bunks. And they had tied down all the furnishings on that boat. But they were all thinking, we are doomed. All of the passengers, they were thinking that the vessel will sink. But finally, a passenger who was determined to find out if there was any hope of survival, he set out to go and see the captain on board. And he was clinging to everything. And he made his way through the water and the waves that were dashing against the boat. And he went up the ladder and he went to see the captain who was behind the wheel. And he noticed that the ship was near land and was between some jagged rocks. And it became very apparent to this man that the captain was trying to reach the safety of the calm bay that was ahead of them. And knowing that he couldn't make himself heard about the roaring of the wind and all the noise that was coming, the captain just turned without any words to that worried passenger and he smiled. That's all. He couldn't shout, but he smiled at him, reassured the man, returned to the others and said, "Don't be afraid. All is well. I've seen the captain's face and he was smiling." Friends, when we are battered by the storms of life, we may be tempted to give in to feelings of hopelessness. But if we look at our sovereign captain and we commit our ways to him, what do we see? He reveals himself to us as a captain who is smiling upon his children. In the midst of the turmoil, we can trust him to bring us through this storm. We can trust him to bring it to pass. Let me remind you of some verses of Scripture. Matthew 6 and verse 25. "Therefore I say to you," our Lord Jesus said, "take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Or listen to the words of our Lord in Luke 12, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on." And then verse 29 says, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." You see, the Lord repeats these things again and again. Why? These are disciples who were seeing him, who could touch him, who sat with him and dined with him. And they needed these reminders. And so don't we need these reminders? If he could repeat these words within just one chapter, just within few moments, how many times do we need to hear these things? He says, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after." So they're worried after what they eat, what they drink, what they would put on. They have doubtful mind, he says. Doubtful mind. They are not stable. A doubtful mind is never stable. And he says, this is the worldly mentality. And the Lord says, "And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." It's not that they were not needful. But the issue for the Christian is that we know that our Father knows. And so the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Peter says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So what happens in your life? You have a difficult business, work, a situation that is so difficult and it's there in front of you. Or when you don't know what course of action to take to do the work, or what it is that needs to be done, then leave all to the Lord and trust these things to him. In godly and in a trusting way, you leave these things with him. Trust that he will direct, that he will assist you. And trust that he will bring things in a right way. Not your way, but in a right way. So if we resign ourselves to God in this way, then we will be content. If you do that, if this verse be yours, then you will be content. Because you've already left it with the Lord. You know he's in control. Then also, not only content, but you will also be happy. And not only happy and content, but also you will be thankful. With whatever way God brings his will to pass in answer to your prayer and in answer to your desires, then you will be happy with whatever the Lord sends your way. If not, then do you know what happens? You'll be just like the world. You'll sound like the world. You'll be dissatisfied. You will be also, when God brings things to pass, you'll be ungrateful. You don't appreciate it. Let me give a final word of application. But you may say, well, look at verse 4 again. Let us go back to verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And you may say, well, look at this verse. This is another word of promise. And we are told that God will give me, you might say, the desires of my heart. And I have been hopeful for this thing and that thing that for many years. That this is a God-guaranteed promise to me. But it hasn't happened. And so many years has passed. I was hoping for a child. I was hoping for a marriage. I was hoping for this work. I was hoping for this place, this position, this situation. But it hasn't happened. And I desired it of the Lord. But God doesn't always bring it to pass, you might say. And unmet desires stir up what in our hearts? It stirs up sadness. Unmet desires stirs up within us disappointments. And sometimes confusion or doubt or anger. And so why hasn't God listened to me? Why hasn't the Lord fulfilled the words of this scripture? And that is normal. You read the Psalms and you find the psalmist with these complaints and yet brings himself again in humility before the Lord. He catches himself. He realizes he's so foolish in such an attitude. Well, your life may have turned out differently than you planned. But here from Psalm 37, we find so much help. Even though the psalm is primarily about comparing ourselves to the wicked, as we will see later on. But we learn from verse 4 that unfulfilled desires, they do not have to take the joy out of our life. Unfulfilled desires doesn't have to take the joy and the peace and the contentment that we should have in the Lord in our lives. As we get to know God's heart, he becomes our joy and our trust. We are no longer wanting to simply have the things that we have wanted in our lives. Now we want his will. We want his desires, not our desires. And we will say, the Lord has planned something better. Something that has been right for me. And so, as you roll your load of care on him, you get to see, as you pray to him, you get to see the privilege you have through the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel to commune with and to know God personally. What a privilege that is. To walk with him day by day and for him to be walking with you day by day. And to say with your Savior, to follow his footsteps and say, not my will, but thine be done. So it's a great privilege. You think about that? It's a challenge that all Christians face. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. May God bless His word to us.